The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Thursday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander, as always. My friend and yours, Kelly Bidlin, sitting here on the desk with me. We have Jonathan Davis a little later to talk some NHL. Adam Burke joining us at the end of the program to talk some Major League Baseball. And you know what? Anything else that he wants to talk about, Adam's writing about everything over there on VSiN.com. Also the co-host of the Double Play podcast over on DraftKings Network as well. So we will talk to Adam Burke a little bit later in the program as well. Kick things off with what seems to be the growing trend amongst every single thing in sports. And this has always been the case, but the fact is now we have more avenues for everything to get highlighted. We have more ways for people's voices to get out there. And that is their displeasure with any sort of form of refereeing. This happens in football. This happens in basketball. This happens in baseball. We are already moving towards robo umpires. AAA has robo umpires that they're trying to figure out if that's the way to go. I welcome our robot overlords actually in baseball, because there shouldn't be a, this guy has a low strike zone. This guy has a high strike zone. This guy has a wide strike zone. No, that doesn't exist. A strike zone is a finite area that exists, and there shouldn't be any difference in the strike zones. And so here we go with, was this a pass interference? Was this not a pass interference? Was this a hold? Was this not a hold? Now we get over into the NBA. Wow, have we had a ton of complaining about the referees and what is going on in these games. Have they been more physical than we have been accustomed to over the last few years? I would say yes. Then you listen to these guys that played in the 80s and 90s, and they go, I mean, that's basketball, man. Like, that's just what we're watching out there. That's just basketball. You guys think that this is so crazy because we have become accustomed to where every single little thing, every single little ticky-tack thing becomes a foul call. Well, is there something that we can do about this to create a happy medium? Because I don't think you can referee a sport one way during the regular season and change that into the postseason. So can we find a way without going to robot referees in NBA? Is there something that we can do to get a little bit more consistency throughout the course of the entire NBA season? I know that you want to make sure that these players stay healthy. You want to make sure that the stars are there for the playoffs, which is why you probably referee this game a little bit lighter during the regular season. But Kelly, when I see what's been kind of going on here throughout the early part of these playoffs, it's almost like two different games that are going on out there. And again, I'm not for or against the way that the refs are calling these games. I don't mind if there's a little bit more physicality in the NBA game, if there was more consistency with that throughout the course of the NBA season. And I don't mind if they continue to referee it the same they did because at least there's consistency there. But I kind of do understand why we have this outrage, why fans who have just caught a game here and there throughout the course of the season, and then they tune into the playoffs and they're kind of like, well, this is not what I saw at all during the course of the regular season. So I can understand why there is outrage. I can understand why these players are getting frustrated. I can understand why these coaches are getting frustrated as well, because they don't really know now. They're almost having to re-game plan. They're almost having to re-understand what a foul is. And we've gotten to the most important part of the season, which is the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that I mean, it's all about consistency, right? Whether we're talking game to game, within a game, from regular season to the postseason, I think the one that we've come to just accept is that the officiating will be different in the postseason than it is in the regular season. I think the part that's really tricky about this year, though, is, I mean, we have on record at this point that post-All-Star break, the rest of the regular season was officiated differently and they allowed more contact. So then when you go from, okay, what was play like in December to what was play like in March, and then what's play like now, you're really jumping a couple steps there. So there's a lot of contact. I get it. I'm for it. That's fine with me. Just call it consistently on both sides of the ball. That seems to be one of the bigger issues.
And if you're going to allow the extra contact, then you go back to the Miles Turner thing in game one, where you, in a critical moment of the game, in which we saw screens like that in the 80s and 90s, every game, multiple times a game, it was never called a foul. That was a borderline even in today's NBA as far as that call goes. And so now you're sitting there and you look at that being called and you go, wait, we officiated this game one way for the first 58 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and then there all was the 30-plus screens set that were probably most of them moving exactly like that.
Yeah, so 58 minutes we refereed this one way, and then the final clutch time, whatever, just because it was an important possession, just because it was an important part of the game, now we're going to change the way that we do this. I at least can sympathize with the frustrations, and I'm not saying that I agree one way or the other. I'm have, again, no dog in the fight in all of this. I'm not trying to say, I mean, I guess there's a future ticket with the Pacers involved, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I'm not a Pacers fan. I'm not, like, I don't have a series price. I don't have any of that. So I don't really have a dog in the fight, but I can understand the argument. I can understand what's going on. I can understand even as bettors, right, key moments, because it will come down to one of these weird fouls getting called that's going to either push a game over because a guy goes to the free throw line or cover a spread or whatever it might be that shouldn't have gotten covered. Like, it will happen. It will inevitably affect a bet. It will inevitably affect a player prop or whatever it is, you know, somewhere down the line, because the guy gets to the line for two free throws that he probably shouldn't at the end of a game. So there are all kinds of implications here that goes down. And so I look at this. And are we a little sensitive? Sure we are. Should everyone have a voice? Probably not. You maybe should have to pass a test to get a Twitter account. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever, something along the line. Like, every person can't scream from a mountaintop about every single thing that goes wrong against your team. But I do get what is kind of collectively brewing here in all forms of sports, because all we really ask for is consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there shouldn't be, like, you know, in the NFL, Kelly, we get these, we now have so much analytics on everything that we can get, like, this guy's crew calls more holding penalties than this guy's crew, and this guy's crew has more personal fouls than this guy's crew, and all, and we're like, no, that shouldn't be the case. A personal foul is a personal foul. Holding is a holding is a hold. There shouldn't be variance among the crews. The same way I was talking about with the strike zone. There shouldn't be a low strike zone or a high strike zone or a wide strike zone, because the strike zone is the strike zone. And so it's the same deal in the NBA. I understand it's a little bit more difficult. You're making split-second decisions on what's going on in real time with dudes moving very fast and a lot of things that are going on. However, we're just asking for consistency of what is and what is not getting called on a consistent basis.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we talked about this Pacers-Knicks game last night, though. I mean, you're going to hear a lot about, the Pacers have filed a complaint to the NBA over 78 calls from game one and game two that they felt were officiated wrong. That's it, Matt. Only 78, okay? That's all they're asking to address. I don't have much sympathy for Pacers backers and those people complaining, though, last night. Like, it is... Yeah, it was another night with some iffy calls. It wasn't nearly as bad as game one to me, not even close from that side of things. And if you're complaining about that last night, maybe take the time to reflect on, you had a whole quarter plus without Jalen Brunson in that game, OG Anunoby missing the end of the game, and you still couldn't close out the Knicks. I'm sorry, but that's the way you got
to
look at it today.
I said this last night to a couple of Pacers fans on the Twitter machine. I go, are you sure you're not just frustrated?
You're frustrated.
As to what's going on with the series? Because here's the thing. Deep down, you know it's over, because you did. What did we say? You and I both said this. JVT said this as we were talking to him about this game. The only way they were going to win this game is if they got a monster performance from Tyrese Halliburton. They got the monster performance from Tyrese Halliburton and still couldn't get it done. It's a 130 to 121 victory for the Knicks. The Knicks come all the way back and cover, by the way. You know, any number that was out there, like any number that was out there, not only did they win, they covered as well in this game. And so we were sitting here saying, like, okay, Pacers, the only way you can do this is if you can get Halliburton to look like Halliburton from the beginning of the season. Halliburton goes 11 of 19 for 34 points. He's 7-11 from deep, 5-6 from the line. He actually adds 9 assists, 6 rebounds, and 3 steals as well. And that was not good enough, Kelly. You still got a 7 of 18. I mean, it's not the greatest shooting performance out of Siakam, but it wasn't god-awful. I mean, he played decent, I guess. Obi Toppin, 20 points as well. But you just look at this and you say, if you can't get that done after that performance you get from Halliburton last night with the injury situation, like you mentioned with Brunson, all of the stuff that went on, man, this is a wrap, right? I mean, I understand there can be people who point to the Knicks and say, dude, they're running this team into the ground. Fair. fair. They played eight guys last night, and when I say they played eight guys, one of the guys played 1 minute. So they played seven guys last night, you know?
I think it's interesting. I bought off a little my position on the Knicks. I was very happy to see them win that game to get me a nice number to be able to do that, just because I am scared of what is OG Anunoby's going to get imaging done today. He was incredible to start that game yesterday. If he's out, I think this series could change. He is such a weapon on both sides of the ball for the Knicks, but specifically on the defensive side of the ball, where he can give Siakam nightmares. If he's going to be out, and man, we're not doctors.
Yes.
But man, that was the
we always have to put that disclaimer out.
That was the immediate hamstring grab that doesn't ever look good. That usually in my mind goes immediately to okay, a couple games at least. We'll have to see though. And then Brunson. I mean, I still got more questions than answers with what happened with Brunson during that game yesterday. I mean, that was very odd.
Because it just said foot soreness?
His right foot was sore.
And it just said, soreness. It wasn't like, oh, he felt like it was sprained or whatever. It was just soreness.
And I mean, there were definitely, these guys are incredible. These athletes are incredible, because I think there were moments in the second half where you're like, wow, this is really bothering him. And other moments, he's driving to the basket and you're like, I don't know, he looks fine to me there.
Yeah, I don't get. By the way, you mentioned that series price. So if there was a time to buy in and you want to get in before any of this news comes through, you know, and I imagine in the next 10 hours, we are going to know a whole lot about this Knicks team. It is plus 330 on the Pacers. I understand it's a daunting task to come back from 0-2 in any series, Kelly, but at this point, you're getting plus 330 on a Knicks team. If you're betting that plus 330 on the fact that you're getting a banged-up Knicks team that's going to be without at least one more person somewhere along the way. That is at least still on the table. Again, nothing definitive right now for all of this. Wow, what an opening. So we're going to come back, and we're just going to continue rolling on, and we didn't even get to half of what we were trying to get to here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch that requires no timeouts or half times. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. What makes Zyn number one? It's available in a deep roster of varieties, including wintergreen, spearmint, and citrus. And you can choose between two strengths, 3 milligrams or 6 milligrams. Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients and is easy to use. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. Zyn is discreet, so you can enjoy them indoors or out. Never miss an at-bat or game-saving catch with Zyn. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn, Z-Y-N.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
It's A Numbers Game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. That's new, the pre-done reads. I don't mind it.
Thanks, Ryan Hunter.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It's great hearing your voice in the morning.
I mean, if I had to power through a 60-second read, I think it would be tough. It'd be tough. I only have so much brain power. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that. Speaking of only
I'm not sure
so
that
much,
was a full 60 either.
Yeah, like, and also to talk about so much brain power, we have skipped right over hockey. We're more well-versed, Kelly, in NBA, so it's easier for us to just kind of get in and start rolling on that. We're two segments in. Well, I don't want to make sure that we skip over this. So the Panthers score 6 unanswered last night, 3 in the second, 3 in the third. They win 6-1 over the Bruins. Bruins up 1-0 after one period, and then after that, it was all Panthers. Tie that series at 1-1. We got to the...
I can tell you this much, Matt. If you average 3 goals a period, I like your chances.
You're going to win a lot of hockey.
Yeah, you're going to win a lot of hockey.
And in true hockey fashion, Kelly, the frustration fighting started last night. So as it got to, like, I think it was 5-1 at the time, as opposed to 6-1. When it was 5-1 at the time, then it just turns to fighting. You know, like, it's because, like, there's nothing else to do. The game's over, so let's just fight. It was our boy Pastrnak.
Ah, David Pastrnak.
I mean, a full-on fisticuffs.
It wasn't a Tuesday night.
Yeah, there's a full-on fisticuffs.
Oh, with Kachuk, right?
Yeah.
I think it was the two stars going at
each other. Yeah, and so here's the thing. This is the funny thing about hockey, where we just, you know, we're complaining about, air quote, ticky-tack fouls in the NBA.
Yeah, these guys just go fight.
These guys go out there. They go, and then they ask the coaches about it at the end of the game. They're kind of like, yeah, I loved it. It was great. Whatever. Like, seriously, both the coaches were like, yeah, yeah, no, I thought it was great. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to, like, go out there and show the guy you're not as afraid of him and all. It's like, it's encouraged. They go out there to assault each other on skates. Skate assault. And then it's like, yeah, it's fine. That's great. I love it. You know, we're complaining about moving screens in the NBA, and they're all like, yeah, they should definitely just punch each other in the face more.
I always have to say, one of the things I hate the most in sports is when we make everybody do the, hey, good game afterward. In other sports, in hockey, I love the fact that they can play a game, beat the crap out of each other, and then they always line up afterward. It's like, hey, good game, man.
Well done.
Hockey's always the exception for
me. Well done. That left hook, though, you got to work on that.
Right.
Yeah, that left hook, not so good. The Canucks rally from a 4-1 deficit last night to win 5-4. They take a 1-0 series lead. That crowd was going crazy in that game, as you could only imagine, Kelly, if you were down 4-1 and then win 5-4, how excited a crowd would be. And so that got them to a 1-0 lead here. Two hockey games today, Rangers-Hurricanes. Hurricanes -170, +142 for the Rangers. And then Avalanche and Stars, your late puck drop. Stars -122 at home, Avalanche 102. We will talk a lot more about that a little bit later. But listen, Kelly, we got to stay on task here. Mavs and the Thunder. Thunder 5-point favorites. 218.5 is our total. -198 on the money line there. Thunder's +164. Mavs, if you think that they win this thing outright, you know, here we go again, right? It's the, if I knew more, maybe I could come with a much more informed opinion. But the problem is we know that Luka is not the same. We know that Luka is playing through things right now. What you and I don't know and could possibly inform a bet in this game is we don't know the extent of the injury. We don't know what he feels like this morning. You know, we don't know, did he get the good stuff, whatever it might be, which is very hard because a handicap around the Mavericks obviously is Luka Kyrie-centric, and then it's kind of everybody else. It's just a really tough go for me. I mean, maybe we monitor the Twitter throughout the course of the day. Mm-hmm. Maybe we get some inside information. Maybe we start to understand at least a little bit better what's going on with Luka. But until I have that information, it would be hard for me to pull the trigger on the Mavs.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get anything. I mean, he's already listed as probable, so he's going to go.
He's going to go.
I think what you've seen out of Luka, unfortunately, is probably what you're
going to get.
Yeah, and look, I think there's going to be games where it's not going to bother him as much, right? And he's going to be able to do a little bit more. Man, I thought what he looked like in game one, though, was really it was really jolting just because it was the first time where he had an extended break, right? At least in the first series, you're like, okay, I don't really know how to read into some of this because he's playing every other night. He had a full 4 days off in between series. I don't know how much affected with that little closeout where he went down to. He definitely, I mean, to me, he looked more bothered, way more bothered after that. So I don't really know how much. That's the biggest question for me. How much of that was just a game one thing that maybe clears up by game two, and he looks a little better, but man, the step back just isn't hitting. His three-pointers the past few games, he just can't. He's not making. He's making a very low clip. I've got big futures positions on the Mavs. I don't have much confidence in right now. Didn't run delay five with the Thunder, although that's exactly where I would look. I don't think there's anything wrong with this line. I'd be a little scared of taking Mavericks tonight. I wouldn't be that worried about laying the points with the Thunder. I actually did put a bet in. I played team total over. That's where I went with the OKC side, hoping Mavericks would still pull out a win. But yeah, I think Oklahoma City, just from what I saw offensively and defensively, they still look like the same team through the regular season, through last round, through game one. It is a top five offensive and defensive team that's going to run a lot of fresh bodies at you. And if the Mavericks are having the same kind of turnover problems that they were having in game one and rebounding issues, it's hard to see them slowing down the Thunder.
Jokic wins his third MVP last night. Kelly, did you see the video of when they announced it? And he just basically went, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And whatever, like, he just like doesn't even care anymore. You've won multiple MVPs, so the third one just doesn't even hit anymore.
Yeah. SGA still should have gotten more love than he did from the voters. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm not going to say that
I had bets on SGA. Okay,
right,
I didn't think for a second they were going to win after the past couple months since the All-Star break, but he should have gotten more first place votes than 15.
A congratulations to our friend Dr. Mr. Eric Eager out there, Kelly. According to Joe Person, who covers the Panthers for The Athletic, The Panthers plan to hire Dr. Eric Eager, who has been over at Sumer Sports for the last couple of years, previously a Pro Football Focus, dating back to our primetime action days, a frequent guest on primetime action with us. The Panthers going to hire him in an analytics role over there with the team. So, again, it's one of those things where some of these football teams, Kelly, are starting to understand that having someone in the building that can maybe not always give you a gut feeling can give you an actual answer from what is more probable to happen, what is more likely to go on, what is the easiest path of victory according to the numbers, as opposed to, you know, sometimes we get, you know, sometimes some old school dudes want to sit there and just say like, no, this is the way you do it because it's always been done this way. It's like, well, you know, we have the information. It doesn't mean you have to use it.
Sure.
But at least have the information. Have it in front of you. Maybe it can skew you one way or other. Maybe you're on the fence about something, you know. And so the Panthers it looks like Eric's going to move over there. And congrats to him. Good guy. Obviously a guy that we've known for several years now.
Yeah, biggest thing, hey, it's great when you hear good things happen to good people, right? And that is Eric Eager. So started with him. Congratulations, Eric. Hope it all works out and the transition works out fine. I doubt we're going to be able to have you all in the network as much anymore.
That's what I was going to say. That was the only thing when we were kind of discussing this on the text of the game. We were like, RIP to his betting career, though, because can't do that anymore, which, you know, that's you are now forbidden from betting on the NFL, which it should be. Yep. He's inside the building, so can't do that. So RIP to his NFL betting career. He's going to have to take up betting high lie and you know, all these other things that are out there, cricket, but awesome news for him. One thing before we go to break here, Kelly. By the way, we were going to talk to you guys about our golf picks, but the tournament's been postponed. Delayed. Heavy rains in the area currently right now over there in North Carolina. They're going to try to get it going in about an hour over there, about an hour and a half, I should say. But that is still TBD. So we'll get to our golf picks at some point, but you're not going to miss anything because it's not going to tee off any time before noon Eastern that they said on that. So, you know, they're moving the hockey team from Arizona to Utah.
Yeah.
They gave the fans 20 choices for names.
I didn't look through them. I was going to go in blind for this, but you know, 20 sounds like a lot.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to read them now, and then everybody at home can like kind of marinate on them. You can marinate on them over the break, and
tweet us your answers. And then Kelly Bidlin at Matt Brown,
and then we can come back with like what this should be. But so here it is: the frost, the ice, the powder.
So far, it sounds like they really want to fall into the
Utah, you know,
the category of not having an S at the end of your
Mountaineers, Breeze, Mammoth, Black Diamonds, Blast, the Caribou. God, man, please let that one win. Blizzard.
Are there caribou in Utah?
Swarm, Hive, Outlaws, Yeti, Squall.
Are there a lot of bees?
Fury, Glaciers. Canyons, Venom, and HC, which would be short for Hockey Club.
Okay.
All of y'all's opinions when we come back on that.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you don't already have a DraftKings Sportsbook account, do we have a deal for you? Go in, download the DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your deposit using the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, bet $5. We're going to give you $150 instantly in bonus bet. That's all you got to do. Download the app. Use the promo code VSIN when you deposit. Bet $5. We're going to give you $150 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We left you guys with 20 different names for the Utah hockey team, which, by the way, they're going to go by Utah whatever. It's not going to be the Salt Lake City whatever. It's going to be the Utah whatever.
That was one of my clarifications during the break, yes. I think that's important when you're discussing a name. How does it flow?
Yeah, and so we did a minimal amount of research on the break as much as we could. We found out that it is the Beehive State, the Hive is part of the deal. We also did something where you have to eliminate one of these. So we did some research. Montana, Idaho, Washington, and obviously Alaska are like the main, like the places you find caribou. So
leave it for Alaska and Canada. Come on.
If there's like a few roaming around in Utah somewhere, listen, you can't have more caribou on the hockey team. Like have more players on the hockey team named caribou than there are caribou in the state. So that gets...
I brought it up. It's kind of why I have a problem with the Florida Panthers name. Like, I lived in Florida for a long time. Didn't see many Panthers. I get it. That's part of the idea. They're an endangered species there. But you just don't connect that with Florida. You use an alligator or something like that.
Did you? So where did you land? So they give you the option, right? This is Kelly Bidlin gets to name the Utah hockey team. Where does it land?
First of all, I'd go back to my marketing team and be like, I need 20 more names. I need 20 more names to consider. But if I have to choose from this list, I'm going with the Utah Yeti.
I think the Utah Yeti sounds awesome.
And it flows, right? That was the importance between Salt Lake City and Utah. Utah Yeti.
The Utah Yeti. Yeah, the Utah Yeti.
There's a couple of terrible.
Here's the thing.
Canyons?
Well,
like, come on.
And also, like, outlaw. You don't think of outlaw. Like, you don't think of outlaw. When you think Utah, the last thing you think of is outlaws.
Yeah.
You don't think outlaws.
I'm sorry, but I'm skipping all the skiing names. Like, anything to do with skiing. Like, that makes you sound badass and tough when you hit the ice. A bunch of skiing terms.
Yeah, yeah,
let's go to Park City.
Yeah, he's like,
have a good.
He's like, and tonight the Powder come to town. It's like, no. I mean, come on, like that's just no way.
There ain't no fighting in Park City.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
come on.
You know, like we're not scared of the Powder coming to town. You know, like that's not happening. You know what? You might be scared of the Yeti though.
You might be scared of the Yeti.
You might be scared.
Also,
of the
like,
Yeti.
There's some cool uniform opportunities with that one too.
There it is, Utah Yeti. I think we did it, Utah Yeti. We just saved you guys out there. You no longer have to vote. It's going to be the Utah Yeti. Kelly, real quick, a quick note. If you guys did not see this yesterday.
Oh, I missed the beginning. That is a fan vote for out of those 20 names.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fan vote. That's what I said. They gave you the power to do it.
Pick correct, fans. Pick correct. There are some names you can eliminate off there.
This is not a pat on the back. We had absolutely no inside information that this was going to happen, but we did have on Paul Sporer on Tuesday. We did say, hey, maybe you want to throw a Paul Skeens Rookie of the Year ticket into your account. It looks like they're stretching him out to come up sometime pretty soon. Well, that pretty soon is now. So he got the call, and he will actually be starting for the Pirates this week. So Skeen, they saw all they needed to see in him down in AAA, where he was just absolutely dominating guys at AAA, and so Skeens is going to come up, which obviously if he were to pitch well, plenty of time for him to win the Rookie of the Year in all of that. So maybe hopefully you threw that in there. I put a ticket in as we talked about on that. And
did odds move big time?
You know, it just a couple.
Texted me when it happened. I ran to check if I could make a bet. They'd pulled them all down. I didn't check after they got reposted.
Just a couple of points, right?
Okay.
So you could find out there at the time, like we said, 14, 15 to 1, something like that. And so now over on the NL side, Skeens is 10 to 1. So it fell 4 or 5 points. Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's not bad, though.
Not terrible. But again, that's what we were saying. We were saying the second he got the call, it was going to fall, right? And so that's why we were trying to get it in there a little bit earlier. And we do. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully he pitches well.
That's two Tuesdays in a row, actually, on a numbers game where that I don't want to say accidental, but where we accidentally predicted some news. But like I asked Gil about Luis Arias being traded last week. We were discussing that for all of 2 minutes. And then a day later, he ends up getting randomly traded. We were talking about fewest wins market. So I don't know. That's becoming a odd trend on Tuesdays, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting deal with Skeens because it's just like it was almost like the writing was on the wall, but they didn't. They were not saying they were going to bring him up, you know, but they're certainly like, all right, this guy's now started at 3.5, the 4 innings, 5 innings, 6 innings. So yeah, they were going to get him up there. Dude, those trouble. At the very least, he's must watch. Like half his fastballs are going to be 100 miles an hour as a starting pitcher. That's pretty fun.
He was good watching in college. Yeah.
Can you imagine throwing 100 miles, like what that must be.
No, I mean,
throwing
like,
100 miles an hour.
You pitched once upon a time.
Yeah, but that's got to, I mean, nowhere. I mean, come on.
Let's put it this way. I'm not even standing in the batter's box, okay? Like, I used to play these games with Josh Towers where I'm like, how much do you think you could gas it? Like, how much do you get in there? Maybe he's been out of the game too long. I'm not going to trust his accuracy right now. You know, I don't mind getting beaned by that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, you don't want that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
All right, so we talked about these divisions. I want to keep rolling through these and see if there's anything that we like in any of these. And I think this is the most interesting one over on the AFC side of things, Kelly, which is the AFC South. I think the Texans are going to be good. I think the Texans really surprised us last year with all they did. I think the Texans had a good offseason. I do not know, though, if the Texans are half the favorite, you know, I mean, like the half the number of the Jags, though, when it all comes down to Texans plus 110. To win the AFC South. Jags at plus 240, Colts at plus 340, and then the Titans out at 10-1. I like the Texans. I think what the Texans have done is absolutely great. I think that Stroud's a stud. I think that getting Stephon, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you could love about this team. But are they, should they be half the odds of the Jags? I mean, it is still the Jags that are bringing in a pretty talented squad. all things considered, they drafted a wide receiver to come in and be, you know, another dude to add into the mix there for Trevor Lawrence and all that. Like, I think the Texans are probably better on paper by a slim margin, but certainly not to the point where 110 to 240.
Okay, I'll go. This might be, it probably is an overreaction, but I don't think the quarterback position's even close. I think C.J. Stroud's that much better than Trevor Lawrence. I don't know. I saw it in 1 year. I think he is that much better.
Look at you.
Now, here's where this division becomes tricky for me, Matt. It's not, because I agree with you for the most part. Is there that big of a difference as a team whole between the Texans and the Jags? Probably not. They're still a wild card team in this division, though, to me, and that is the Colts. I mean, we saw very little of Anthony Richardson last year, and what we did see was damn impressive, and I think he could be really good too. So I can't wait to see him back on the football field. It's probably going to keep me out of betting mostly anything in this division.
I think I would still bet the Jags. I mean, look. Trevor Lawrence has been good. He just hasn't been great, and that's the problem, right? Because we all thought that he was going to be great. Everyone talked about him being the greatest can't-miss prospect since Andrew Luck and all the thing, you know, all the hype that surrounded him coming in, and he has not been that. But he's been good. And so you have Christian Kirk still on the roster. You draft Brian Thomas, and then you sign, for what it's worth, you sign Gabe Davis. But the thing is Gabe Davis now can be a wide receiver three. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what Gabe Davis is. And if Gabe Davis is a wide receiver three, you're probably in a pretty good situation. Like, I mean, like Gabe Davis is probably a wide receiver three. And at that point, he's probably one of the better wide receiver threes in all the NFL. And so you still have Evan Engram, who was a renaissance there for the Jags at the tight end position. Decent offensive line. I you know, the defense has always been kind of up and down with that Jags team, but if the talent is there, the players are there, figuring out if they can do it on a week-to-week basis has been something that's been, I don't know. I think if the bet was to be made for me in this division, it would still be on the Jags. I don't think I'd go Texans plus 110 because I don't think that price, the price is indicative of the gap between them and the Jags. And like you said, maybe even the Colts.
Yeah, I think this will be interesting to see. We got schedule release coming next week, right? I think this division, I'm looking at win totals. I think that's the only thing I could see myself betting is possibly one of these win totals, and it might probably most likely one would be Colts over or Texans over. I think I'd rather bet that than the division odds, but that's going to be schedule dependent. I'll be looking at that. Now, the other team you and I were kind of talking about off the air is, and I have no idea what to make of the Titans either. So, like, it's kind of another wild card in there. I don't really want to consider if I'm betting a division price here.
We didn't even talk about that yesterday. They signed Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
So now their wide receiver room is D-Hop, Ridley, and Tyler Boyd with whatever they're going to do with Treylon Burks, who's like, is just kind of over there.
I mean,
on the
2 years ago, if you were playing Madden, they got the best wide receiver core in the NFL. So, you and I think, I mean, I don't know how much your opinion changed last year. Like, I still think Will Levis has a chance to be something.
Sure.
And that is a great wide receiver room. It wouldn't shock me if they blew this 6.5 win total out of the water. There's a lot of unknowns with it for me, this division. I'm kind of glad most of them are all in the same division together, so I can kind of just toss this one out. Trevor Lawrence, like you said, he's not a bad quarterback.
Yeah.
He's good. I do think C.J. Stroud could end up being that good, though. That's really my point with him.
As we head to break, that's all we need for the AFC West. The Chiefs are going to win it. Like, the Chargers have no shot. Raiders have no shot. Broncos have no shot. That's all we need. That's all we needed for the AFC West. Yeah. We literally needed no more than the outro music.
I will consider Broncos and Raiders win totals under. That's for sure.
That's all we needed for that one. Let's talk some hockey when we come back.
Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. This segment brought to you by Zen Nicotine Pouches. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as well. Kelly, the Twitter machine always, you know, rampant with rumors out there as well. An anonymous veteran assistant coach says you can almost sense a sigh of relief among Luka Doncic's teammates when he checks out of a game.
Wow. Okay. I don't even know what that means. They want him to get the rest, or they think they have a better chance with him off the court?
I'm guessing it's that since he's so limited right now with whatever's going on with him.
Yeah, they think they have a better chance
that,
of
that, like that, like they'd rather him not heave up. They'd rather him not go 1 for 10 from three and whatever and all that. Yeah, I don't know. That's again, pretty easy for an anonymous person to go out and say that. But you know, look, could you get yourself to a point where you could actually believe that? I mean, I don't know. I guess we don't know how injured he is.
You know what? Also, I'm sure there's been a lot of superstars in sports that have dealt with injuries that a lot of teammates have felt this way about. But if they actually feel that way, guess what, anonymous source? You ain't winning anything if that guy ain't on the court. So
no. That said, if you do...
Sorry.
That said, if you do... If he does end up sitting a game in this thing, I will break my finger betting the over on Kyrie Irving points. Like, I mean, Kyrie is going to score 40 plus easy. I will bet every single ladder all the way up to 40 for Kyrie.
I mean, yeah, like if you want to tell me right now, this offense should be running way more through Kyrie. I can't argue that with the current state of Luka Doncic, but yeah. I don't, if that guy's not playing, I don't think you can stand much of a chance.
No, not at all. Only thing we're going to do is just bet Kyrie to score all the points, because he will. He'll score all the points. He's a premier scorer. People,
it's awesome.
He's an amazing scorer. People just forget he's playing with Luka, so he didn't get as many chances. All right, let's talk some NHL. Your friend and mine, Jonathan Davis, joining us here. You can find him on the Ice Cap over on SiriusXM. You can also see him as the host of Show Me the Money Hockey Betting Podcast as well. Jonathan, how you doing, buddy? Appreciate the time.
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing good here. The Progressive Guest Line bringing us the heat today with Jonathan Davis, and we're going to get right into things. John, let's do a quick little recap before we get into your plays for the evening. What we saw last night, the blowout, right? Do you take anything from the blowout? I mean, you see the 6 goals in the 2 periods and all of that, or is that just like, you know, whatever, sometimes in hockey that happens? Is there anything that you drew from that you're going to take moving forward?
Well, other than the fact that we know that if you had any concerns about the Florida Panthers, put them to bed, because that, look, they're a really good hockey team. For me, there's no momentum from game to game. Hockey players will tell you, you know, in the playoffs, it's shift to shift. It's not game to game. We got a series, and I think anybody, you know, we all felt, I think many of us felt this was going to be at least 6 or 7 games. So how you get there, I never get too ramped up about it either way. A blowout, I'd rather lose 6-1 than 3-2.
Yeah, I know. I feel you on that one. What about the second game in which we see a 4-1 deficit get erased and then a 5-4 win by the Canucks to go up in that series? One, what did you think of that series heading in? And then what do you see of it now that we see that big rally from the Canucks? And man, that was, listen, I'm not a huge hockey guy, but that was super fun to watch last night.
Well, Matt, they you know, Vancouver had scored just 13 goals in round one, and they scored 5 last night. Again, it's the second time the Oilers lost a 5-4 game to a team that you wouldn't expect them to lose 5-4. You know, they lost 5-4 in overtime to Los Angeles, and then again last night. And the fashion that they lost last night was very disturbing. They didn't have a shot in the third period until about 15 minutes in. They sat back, and they did that against L.A., LA doesn't have the talent that Vancouver does, and it bit them in the backside. And their goalie, Stuart Skinner of the Oilers, you know, he's been the question mark for them throughout the year. He was once again a question mark last night. That winning goal should never have gone in.
So let's take a look at what we got going tonight. The first puck drop, Rangers and the Hurricanes. That's coming to you about 7 o'clock Eastern. Hurricanes minus 166 at home in this one, plus 140 with the Rangers on the road. 5.5 is our total. Let's talk about the game in general. I know you have a player prop as well in this one, but let's talk about the game in general, what you think is going to go down.
Well, firstly, I want to go back to a conversation you guys had last segment. How about we have the Hurricanes against the Blizzard in an upcoming Stanley Cup playoff?
There you go. Okay. All right. You don't like the Yeti? Come on, Utah Yeti. It sounds so good. Utah Yeti.
I'm good with the Yeti.
It's got to be the Yeti. I mean, think of the merch. I mean, the merch and just the merch alone. You make a little Yeti. It's amazing. I love it.
All right, we digress. Mm. Look, this is one of the loudest buildings in the NHL in Raleigh with the Hurricanes. I don't like the price of $1.65 for Carolina. It's just while I like the Canes to win. I just think there's better value in other places. Carolina was one of the best home favorites in the NHL, though, this year. They were 27-14. The Rangers were 7-6 this year as a road dog. You know, there are a couple ways you could approach it. If you like the Rangers, I would go and play their alt line on the team total at over 3.5 at plus 235. When they win, they score at least 4 goals. They've done that in 40 of 41 games. You know, they're 40-1 when they score 4 goals. So that'd be a way to approach it from the Rangers standpoint. I also, you know, while I'm leaning Carolina, I think the props are better on the Rangers side. Vincent Trocheck, the former Carolina Hurricane who scored the game-winning goal in game number 2. I did a same game parlay with him at over 0.5 and over 2.5 shots on goal. Get that about plus 163. So I do like the Ranger props better than the Carolina Hurricane props. But if I got to pick a winner in this one, I think ultimately I do like the Canes in pretty much a must-win situation because, you know, you can't go down 3-0.
We said that you cannot be the Utah Caribou when there are no caribou in the state of Utah. I just look, North Carolina has been hit by 55 hurricanes, including 7 Category 3 through Category 5 hurricanes since they've been measuring like hurricanes.
Oh, they
hitting
qualify.
Places where, so if you've been hit by 55 hurricanes, you can be the Carolina Hurricanes.
Absolutely.
If anyone was wondering, 100%. You know, so I just
well, Matt, you see, you've got the advantage to look that up on those 5 screens that you've got in front of you.
Yes.
I mean, it's not fair.
I've said this many a time. I have sold more of these things than these people have. I get asked where I got this thing all the time. I mean, and next thing you know, people are coming back. Dude, I got it. It's great. Seriously, I've sold 5 of the $0 from the Z-Back company, by the way, on my selling.
I got
of these.
A shout out too.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I should have said on said company. Yeah, said company. You didn't pay for any of this stuff. You didn't get paid for this promotion. All right, so we have one more puck drop here, Jonathan. Avalanche and the Stars tonight. This about 9:30 Eastern. -122 Stars at home, +102 Avalanche on the road. 6.5 though is our total in this one. How you see this one?
I like the Dallas Stars. I mean, I like Dallas in the series, and if you still like Dallas in the series, you know, I think now to win the series, they were about -120 heading in. So I think there's a lot of value there on a series price of the Dallas Stars. A couple of props in this one as well. Wyatt Johnson, the rookie phenom, over 0.5 at -143. And on the Colorado side, their leading goal scorer, Val Nichushkin, has scored in every playoff game this year. He's got 8 on the year. It's pretty remarkable. This guy, you go back to 2017-18, when he was a member of the Dallas Stars, guys, he had 0 goals in 57 games.
Wow. 0 goals in 57 games.
Yikes.
Kelly, how many goals can you score in 57 games?
0.
I mean, he has the same amount as you in 57 okay. games.
Sign him to a contract. Kelly, yeah. You're in the wrong business.
I mean, yeah. Kelly, can you ice skate?
It would be really ugly. If I hurt myself with us playing football, I don't want to see myself on skates right now.
I've never ice skated not one time.
Really?
Fun fact about Matt Brown, never ice skated not one single time.
I played hockey when I was a kid. But
yeah. Really?
By the way, guys, you were talking about the injuries on the Denver side, on the Nuggets side, and there's nothing better. Like, once an NHL playoff series ends, when you hear about the injuries that these guys play through, it's scary.
I mean, they're
again, the good stuff.
Yeah, broken all this, strained this, that, and the other, all the whatever. So you mentioned you're maybe the Stars out there. So we are looking at the odds. +425 Rangers to win it all. Avalanche at 425 as well. Panthers at 450. Oilers at 550. The Stars are at 750. Bruins at 950. 10-1 on the Hurricanes and then 13-1. On the Canucks. If I'm coming to you and I say, Jonathan Davis, here's a free 100 Matt Bucks and you can go in and I'm going to allow you to put this Matt Bucks on a future with one of these teams out there, would it be the Stars?
It would be a toss up right now. Look, I like Carolina. I liked Carolina a lot and I had a futures ticket on the Hurricanes. I think potentially the Florida Panthers have an easier path, at least to get out of this round than any other team. I just think Florida is much better than Boston, even though the series is tied at 1. So if I'm taking Matt Brown's money, yes. And Matt, thank you very much. I'll be waiting for the Venmo. I put it on the Florida Panthers right now.
There it is. I might have to throw me something in there, Kelly, on the Florida Panthers. And we'll find out if there are Panthers in Florida on the break. We'll let people know there. You can find him over on the Ice Cap on Sirius XM. Also host a Show Me the Money hockey betting podcast. He is Jonathan Davis. Jonathan, thanks for the time today, man, and good luck.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
So we're going to go in. We're going to bet the Hurricane. Can we bet the Panthers? I think I already have a Stars bet. I don't know if I can do that.
I think you're good. I mean, what's tough with almost all the great NHL guests we've talked to, whether it's Jonathan or Jay Kahn, we've talked about this all season long. How many teams are bunched at the top of the odds board? It just feels very wide open right now. I don't really know that much has changed.
I can tell you right now, when I was reading those, I was actually shocked that there were four teams that were all right. Plus four or something, yes. You know, like with all that. It just lets you know there has been variance a lot, you know, in the NHL playoffs. So we had that. When we come back, let's talk a little of these NFL rookie leaders, because I actually did put one of these bets
cool
into the account, and maybe you want to too.